Wednesday morning, which means we wing our way to Settle and Bentham and Ingleton. And our correspondent there, it's Caroline Lobb. Hello, morning. Morning, morning.
Hello, morning, Lee. Morning, listeners. How are you all doing?
Hey, we're all good. All of us lots. Excellent. What are we talking about today?
Well, today we've got a special guest, Dr. Abby Astle, who's from Bentham Medical Practice. She has been on with us before, and we're talking about alcohol-related issues today. So thank you, Abby, for coming on with us today. Are you anywhere exciting at the moment? Just thought I'd ask.
I'm just standing at the Sedbergh Shooting Club shooting range that I've never seen before. So you might hear some air rifles in the background.
I think we could describe you as not only a doctor, but an adventurer as well.
Yes.
Get out there, don't you?
Anyway.
So what are we talking
Abby,
about?
So, Abby, we're talking alcohol today, aren't we? I wanted to ask you, would you say you've seen an increase in health-related issues, perhaps occur in alcohol-related issues over the last 18 months?
Certainly, some people are drinking more. So we're definitely seeing a group of people that have definitely got more problems with alcohol, mainly sort of the kind of moderate drinkers, which is probably what I want to focus on today.
And is it because people during lockdown have kind of turned to it a little bit if they're at home too long or feeling a bit lonely? Is that why there's sort of a little bit of an uplift?
Yeah, I mean, generally, drinking patterns are such that a lot of people sort of do drink at home anyway. So for the group of people, perhaps that their main drinking social into the pub may well be drinking less. But for people that it's a kind of after work thing, or weekend thing at home, then there's a lot of potential to be drinking more. You know, you're not out at work, you don't have to get up in the morning, you can, you know, go to bed later and things like that. So, and it's something to do, isn't it?
Oh, well, I understand. So we're looking at an increase. And is it the kind of increase that we're looking, sort of edging on the danger area, or are we just talking about probably too much?
Well, I think we need to redefine really the danger area. So we've got, I think typically people view, you know, alcoholism as a very small number of people and images of people on park benches with brown paper bags or very heavy drinkers that aren't working and things like that. And there are very tiny numbers, really. But lots and lots of people have problem drinking because alcohol can affect us in so many different ways. And they're not always quite as obvious. So I think large numbers fall into those areas. I mean, when I think about harms of drinking, generally thinking about the social harms and physical harms and psychological harms, and I can talk a bit more about those if you'd like me to.
Yeah, I think we should get into them. I just wanted to say one thing, though, and this is from my own personal experience. I, over the years, have met people that I would describe as, and some of them would describe themselves as, functioning alcoholics. They know they drink too much, but they manage to do it in a way that their life continues. They turn up for work, they do their daily routine, and then they get on it. And it's a really unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah, so absolutely, that's probably the biggest group of alcoholics. I mean, if you're an alcoholic, that means that you're in the bracket where, and we don't use the word alcoholic, but we talk about alcohol dependence. So those are people that if they were to miss out their alcohol, would get withdrawal symptoms. You know, they need to drink every single day, otherwise they get jittery. Now, they can be functioning, and they may then argue that there aren't social harms. But quite often, if you scratch under the surface, there will still be social harms, often problems with family relationships, could be financial problems, arguments at home, relationship breakdown, domestic violence, all those things be associated with a sort of functioning alcoholic. Plus, they're storing up for themselves a load of old physical problems. So I think in the past, we just thought about liver failure. And again, that's just a tiny, tiny part of the harm.
I presume that's the really sharp end, isn't it? Liver failure.
That's the really sharp end. But, you know, when you're looking at people who've been drinking sort of moderately heavily for a long time, and certainly by the time they get into the 50s and 60s, you're starting to see more likely to get memory problems, increased risk of cancer, heart disease, stroke, can cause quite a lot of sort of nerve damage in your feet. So can start to affect the way that you walk.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
For many people, this is something that will creep up on them. They're not going to see these problems coming, are they? They're not going to think when they start drinking just a wee too much, I'm storing up problems for myself, but they are.
No, I mean, absolutely. It just creeps up on us. And I think the way to sort of decide if it is an issue for us is to sort of look at, there's some really useful websites. There's a particular one called Drink Aware, where it will ask you various questions about your drinking habits, what you drink, how you drink, when you drink, what other people think about your drinking. And that can help you to identify if there is a problem. And lots and lots of handy tips there about how to go about cutting down. Because I think even for very, you know, what most people would think fairly normal drinking patterns, sort of drinking on, you know, Friday, Saturday and Sunday night, a few glasses of wine, actually can be stacking up quite a lot of harm. And there's lots of initiatives out there now for trying to encourage people in that bracket to stop drinking. Like there was the Dry January thing and, you know, those types of, oh, those guns are getting louder now. Sorry.
I heard that one.
Yeah. They were just little.
It's their little way of telling you to hurry up. No, anyway. So give us an idea of the levels we're talking about here. What would be a safe level? What would be, you know, you're starting not to be safe?
Okay.
So, will it vary according to individual?
Well, they don't really. The new guidelines that came out a couple of years ago from the government suggest that for everybody, 14 units is the maximum. Now, a unit of alcohol is like one measure of spirits, and most of your standard drinks are two units, like a small glass of wine or a standard strength beer or cider, that would be two units. So,
and you're saying 14 is a maximum per week?
Per week.
So now, if you have a pint of beer, you've done two of your units, so that means could have seven in a week.
Yeah, assuming it's a normal strength, exactly that, or it's a bottle and a half of wine or 14 very small measures of spirits.
It's one bottle of wine.
One and a half
a week. One and a half a week.
Wow.
Now that's to be absolutely safe, but I do sometimes think with those new guidelines, when I'm talking to patients about them, there's a little bit of a risk of you having a kind of, oh well, I can't stick to that, so I'm not going to bother. The guidelines used to be 21 units for women and 28 for men, but I think the reason why they gone much lower is to do with the links with sort of cancer and heart disease and also obesity. I mean, my husband and I are quite sort of fit, healthy people, as you probably noticed. One year we did recognise that we were tending to, you know, up the amount of wine that we were drinking, and decided we would have a dry month and just not drink at all. And actually, we both ended up losing a bit of weight completely unintentionally. And we just felt more, even though we were only drinking moderately, we felt we were sleeping better. We felt more rested, more energized. And I think it actually reset things for us as well. I don't think we've ever slipped back into that sort of moderate drinking that we were doing at that stage. So,
14 is the safe limit. What have we got above that? I mean, where are you starting to look at being potentially really damaging?
Well, I would certainly say that if women are going over 21 or men are going 28, that's something that you seriously need to look at. And there's really easy ways to do it. I want to focus a bit not just on, oh, well, you shouldn't do it, but what you can do. I mean, I just want to get in there quickly that if you've got dependent drinking, that's really heavy drinking where you can't go a day without alcohol, then you need to get professional advice, because it isn't safe to suddenly stop drinking. You can risk some very serious problems, including fits and things. So don't stop drinking abruptly if you're a very,
and is
very
that because your body's got used to the fact that every day it sees so much alcohol and it deals with it?
And you'll get the full-blown withdrawal if you stop suddenly. And if you have a seizure or something because of that, then you won't be able, you know, they'll cause all sorts of problems. So go and see your GP and get some proper support. But if you've got sort of, you know, the usual kind of moderate drinker, so maybe you're listening to this and you're a woman drinking 21 units or a man drinking 28, there's some really simple things. Like one of the things, there's loads of lovely drinks that are non-alcoholic, and often what it is it's the habit, the pattern. So you maybe got
mindset,
used to the idea that, you know, with a meal you enjoy a gin and tonic. Now, you know, you can get exactly the same effect actually by just getting the same nice glass out, pouring in the ice, the tonic water, and then adding a little bit of cordial in your slice, and you'll find that, because you'll get the same effect from that. And there's some decent, you know, alcohol-free beers and things like that. So one thing is to swap things out. other thing is just to look at when you drink and think about changing your routine. So is it with a certain group of people? Is it, do you go for a drink at lunchtime? Could you go for a walk instead? You know, is there something you can change your routine a bit to take out those times when you go for a drink? And the other big thing I do want to get in there is that I think if you do decide to cut down, it's really important to get support of your family and friends. And you might find if, you know, a group of you are drinking too much, you know, be brave, be the one that says, actually, you know, this isn't good for us. You know, I haven't got money for my holidays anymore. Or, yeah, you know, I'm arguing with my wife when I come in drunk, or my kids are getting angry with me. Or, you know, I've got points on my, you know, driving ban because I got caught drink driving and now I have to get the bus to work, or whatever. You know, be the one that stands up and says, actually, you know, I want to reduce. You know, are we all in this together?
Persuade them for all of you to give up at the same time, yeah, or to cut back.
Because it's really difficult. Or, you know, I think most of this kind of drinking is embedded in social habits. And I'm not at all suggesting that we stay away from pubs, but they offer a range of other types of drinks these days. And they're still offering a social space and they do meals. And it doesn't have to be all about the alcohol.
Soda and lime. That's, I'm putting that out there. That's what I like, actually. I switched a long time.
I'm a soda at the pub, girl, but that doesn't make the pub very much.
Soda and lime. I switched to it a while ago, and actually it's quite refreshing. You're mostly drinking water, so it's not bad for you. There are various places you can get some support and read further information, and we're going to put those up along with the podcast so you can find all of that information and some of the places you've been talking about, Dr. Abby. So is there anything else we need to say in conclusion?
If you think there's a problem, you know, share it with somebody. And that Drink Aware
website
is a really good place to start for getting an idea of some. It's just got full of advice and full of, it's very interactive. You get to kind of fill in questionnaires and things tell you what you, I love that kind of thing. So
like many things, don't keep it to yourself. Try and share it with someone.
Definitely.
Try and talk to someone about it, because they may be able to help you and they may have some ideas that can help you. But thank you very much for now, Dr. Abby. Good to talk to you as always. We'll let you continuing with mountaineering or whatever it is you're doing today. Not in Sedbergh, of course, but I mean, you know.
Cycling. Right, see you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.